What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the podcast. Hello, how are you today? I'm your host, Mitch Corbett, and this week we have Chase and Haley Ainsworth. Chase and Haley own Phoenix Fitness, which is a gym in Sarnia, Ontario. It's a CrossFit gym, but not really a CrossFit gym, but it's a functional training facility that they do kind of CrossFit stuff in. It's okay. I asked them about this during the podcast. That's okay to say that's a CrossFit gym. I do believe so. I wanted to have them on the podcast because they opened up the gym a month before the pandemic hit. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about how they train for competitions, what it's like to own a gym, to encourage people to be their best selves. I think it's a really fun and great chat, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So let's get to the conversation with Chase and Haley. You guys got your coffee? You're all ready to go?
Yeah.
So, Chase, we're just doing an hour conversation of the Batman.
I told him that.
like the new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't got to see it yet, so you guys are on your own for that.
Is Haley covering her ears so for spoilers?
No.
Yeah.
I wanted to, but I worked, so. He liked it.
I thought it was very good. I think you could tell where the studio kind of had some say in some of the scenes. You know, like the big hero scene at the end, and that's not a spoiler.
No. It's always
like, I just feel like it wasn't very Batman-y. It wasn't really fitting.
Well, so like the... My wife, she's like, that's my favorite Batman. Say what we will with Bruce Wayne, but that was her favorite like portrayal of the Batman.
I think that was awesome. There's some things like how loud his boots are all the time.
Yeah. Like, so from a film standpoint, like the visuals, like the cinematography, the lighting, the sound effects, Everything was like, we saw it like in the big screen theater, like it was a thematic film experience. And that was what I really
liked. The intro, like after the first Riddler scene.
Yeah.
About like the shadows, like that was awesome. That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It made you like scared almost. Like
it makes you really excited to see what they're gonna do with the next two films because they're gonna do a trilogy with him as the helm. So fucking go.
He said it could have ended like four times though.
Yeah, they definitely could have ended it, I think, before the bands and that stuff, you know. But yeah. It was worth it. Like, I like a long movie personally.
I like a long movie, but like if it makes sense, and like I think it made sense in this movie. I didn't feel like they could have ended at four different points like everyone says. I think like, and I watched it at like 10:14, so I didn't get out of the theater till like 1:32-ish. So I mean, I was super tired, but I still enjoyed it thoroughly.
I agree with you, and I think totally liked it myself, being as long as it was. But I think for like a change of pace, if the Riddler won and they like kind of ended and it, cause it's like a sad themed movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, and then maybe he's the hero in the second one.
No. Yeah. But I mean like, then you don't have that arc of the film.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna move on from this.
I still like this.
Spoiler territory. Yeah,
I think you could actually talk about Batman for a whole hour.
Yeah, of course we could.
Probably. I mean,
we could talk about I got my big we could talk about this for an hour. We could talk about anything you guys want for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're here to talk about you guys. I'm here with welcome to the podcast. Hello, how are you today? I'm here with Chase Ainsworth and Haley Ainsworth. How are you guys doing?
Yeah,
great.
Feeling good today, except for the weather.
You guys just finished a workout or are you guys just in the gym hanging out?
Rest day for us, but we figured this was a better place than our house to do it, so.
No cats to distract you from the importance.
Exactly, yeah.
We got one of those cat wheels for our one cat who's like a little bit more active, and it's so loud and huge, so we figured it would be a bit of a distraction.
Does it work though? I mean,
it's amazing.
She loves it. She gets scared of the noise though when she starts sprinting. It gets really loud and she gets scared of it and runs away, so.
We were looking at getting one for our cat because one of the cat is lazy, one cat's very active. But we were like, prices, no, we can't do that.
They're expensive, yeah. Yeah, you can sometimes find them without papers, and they're a little cheaper, but yeah, they're pretty pricey. At least looking at like grant.
It's amazing. My wife and I are like having discussions about kids and the house. And it's like, oh, we can't afford kids, and we can't afford a house, but we'll spend money on the cats. Like, okay. It's the cat dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah, 100%. Do you guys want kids?
Well, we want one. We want to try for one because we could probably only afford one with the economy. But even then, it's like, it's insane right now. I mean, like, trying to find a home, like an actual home. And trying to find, like, with everything's cost, everything has risen in cost, but salaries have stayed the exact same. Yep. And it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Because you guys live in London, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can only imagine, like, here in Sarnia is bad enough, but London is probably just...
Well, it's actually pretty much the same. Like, anywhere I look, it's like, whether it be Sarnia, St. Thomas, Welland, Ontario, like, all the markets are high for some reason. Unless you want to live in, like, a farm community. And my wife is from Santiago, Chile, a city of 8 million people, which, you know, we tried that in Newfoundland. She was miserable. So
she did not like it.
No.
Well, it'll happen when it's supposed to happen, I guess. But, yeah, the prices are crazy.
Let's get down to it. You guys opened up your own gym in the middle of a pandemic, a CrossFit gym. And
the first one was great. We thought it was going to be awesome.
Yeah, you're doing so well. No issues.
Well, let's talk about that. Because, like, all right, so Haley, like, I know you very well. We worked on the show Find Your Fit together. And I know you're a CrossFit athlete now, but were you always an athlete, or did you find CrossFit and then become an athlete?
Define athlete.
Like, you played sports when you're younger and all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah, I played different sports than what you're typically used to seeing. So I did like swimming and gymnastics. I did basketball, bowling. I have a couple bowling trophies. I was a pretty good bowler. But I didn't play any like team sports, which is what he did a lot of. But yeah, so I would say like I've always been athletic, but not an athlete, if that makes sense.
So yeah, because like I did the swimming, not so much the bowling. I did swimming, track, all those things when I was younger. Yeah. And like the switch from doing like heavy, like those sports aren't, you know, heavy lifting sports, they're more cardio based, like tonnage, that sort of thing. So that transition from doing that to CrossFit, what was that like?
It wasn't. I had a really good background in like stamina, and the gymnastics trade like into CrossFit was amazing, because there's all like handstands, the gymnastics pull-up bar work, muscle ups, all that kind of stuff was really good. But I definitely had to learn the strength, and that's the stuff that takes years and years to build. So I would say I'm maybe now an athlete, but I definitely haven't always been one.
And Chase, you were a hockey player, right? Or did you play other sports?
Mainly, I played travel basketball. I played competitive badminton, which is pretty funny.
Same nice. Badminton's a wicked sport. I think it's very underrated. Yeah,
it's so fun. Competitive skateboarding and like random stuff like that as well. So,
you guys have these eclectic backgrounds in sports. And like Chase, so like, what was your transition from CrossFit like? How did you both fall in love with the sport and the athletics of CrossFit?
Yeah, I think it was a little easier for me because I feel like the explosiveness of hockey and like the demand for kind of like high output, you know, a little bit of rest, high output, like on and off, transitioned really well for me with hockey specifically. I was introduced to lifting weights through hockey too, like at a younger age. I didn't like it when I was younger. I was very small and weak and didn't like weightlifting, but I had that introduction at least a little earlier. I would say the transition was really good for me with like the competitive aspect, being able to be competitive in a sport that, you know, is a worldwide thing that you can do anywhere, against anyone essentially.
We're very competitive with each other.
And against each other. But yeah, So the transition was really a no-brainer for me. It was really easy.
And you guys both got backgrounds in fitness for like your schooling and everything. What is it about CrossFit that made you go down that path as opposed to, you know, not powerlifting, but like, you know, another form of a gym sort of thing?
The nice thing about CrossFit is it's kind of a little bit of everything. So we both like it because you're doing Olympic lifting, you're doing powerlifting, you're doing gymnastics, you're doing long distance cardio, aerobic, anaerobic. You got kind of a mix of everything, and you have to be, the thing that we always like to say is we're like the jack of all, right? Like it's a little bit of everything. You have to be really good at a lot of things instead of being like an amazing expert at one thing, right? Yeah.
It's really, it's like an everyday struggle and like a fun struggle to like balance all these things. And, you know, the better you get at gymnastics, maybe your strength doesn't, you know, keep up. So you got to work on strength. And it's kind of a fun little struggle to always be balancing all the different domains of fitness.
What would you say is probably the hardest part about, for someone to say like me, who has worked out and has been an athlete, but hasn't really been, you know, that elite level before. Like, what would you say is like the hardest part for someone like me that, you know, say I want to do CrossFit, like the first step?
Starting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and routine.
The hardest part for people is CrossFit's very intimidating because you only see CrossFit on TV, right? So you only see like the best of the best in the world who do it as a full-time job and are sponsored and like literally live and breathe to do that, right? So people see that and they're like, I can't do that. But the actual general fitness community.
Yeah, the magic is in the community.
Within CrossFit is your general population, general fitness stuff. So like our classes are amazing. We don't have any elite or like very few elite level class members, but everybody who comes in is learning something, doing something that they've never done before.
They have and 20 new friends.
The hardest part is just getting them in here.
Yeah.
That's always the hardest part. And then like Chase said, like creating a routine,
yeah.
Do it over and over and over again, right? Something like 21 days to create a habit. So commit for 21 days and then we'll see you soon, Mitch.
maybe if you're in London, I can hit you on the way home.
Yeah.
So tell me about the community then, because I mean, I do watch the Fizz on Earth, the competition on Netflix, those documentaries, and like you see them all talking, and they're all very social at the beginning, and then as the competition goes on, it's just like,
fuck. Yeah,
you see them so tired, but. Like that's gotta be such a strong bonding moment between not only yourselves, but your gym, people in your gym and like athletes around the world.
I think that's exactly how you said it. It's, we have people from all age groups, athletic backgrounds, kind of like we were talking about, all doing the same workout, all suffering the same way, you know, for the same thing. Everyone wants to be a little better. And the sweet thing about our community is like, there's a version that you can do and I can do in the same class, obviously me with more experience, that wasn't a dig. we could do the same workout beside each other, just a little different, cheer each other on the whole time, finish at the same time, lay on the ground together and fist bump, you know what I mean? So it's like every skill level, every fitness level, age group can all do the same thing. And I think that's the big thing with how fun and exciting the community is.
So like, is that why you guys fell in love with CrossFit? Like, I mean, obviously like you see the people that are in shape, they're elite level athletes. And it's very enjoyable to see that your body's transforming to that level. But like, it kind of seems like the reason why you do this form of workout is because it's a family and it's a communal sort of thing.
Yeah. I think when we both started, and I'll let her speak for herself after, but we both started in classes.
I did not.
Essentially. Well, we're small groups. And so I immediately, like you said, fell in love with the community. Like I was a beginner. The class atmosphere was amazing. And that was one thing, along with the competitiveness, like having other athletes to kind of try to beat as well as yourself, because there's retestable workouts. She was slightly different, I think, if you...
Yeah, I didn't start in classes, but I started kind of in a small group where I was like the person that I would meet. Everybody would text me. There was a group of like six of us. They'd all text me, what time are you going to the gym at today? So I'd tell them. And I would literally pick like the five worst movements that I either was like not good at or I liked and kind of mix it up. Mm-hmm. And I would make this just like disgusting workout. And then everyone would do it with me. And they were like, that was the best thing ever. It just sucked. We just did like crappy workouts for like 2 hours straight. And like, that was fun. But what made me fall in love with it was like, just, I'm like the type of person who loves a challenge. And I would see one thing and then like a handstand pushup, for example. So I would like kick up to the wall and I'd barely even be able to like lower myself down to the ground when I first started. And it was like the love of like figuring out how to do it. And then once you like get a taste of like, wow, I can now do that. What's the next step? That's like the beauty about this sport is there's always a way for you to improve. So I fell in love with like the fact that it's just never the same. Like I work as a paramedic, right? Like every single day is different. It's what I like. So I like coming in and I like knowing like today I might suck at this, but tomorrow is going to be way better. Right. Like
I totally second that point of it as well. It's we're both the same where like, if we're not good at something, we need to be good at it. We want to be better. And that happens every day with what we do is like, you can always be a little better at one of these domains that we mentioned. Right. So we agree there anyway. Same there.
So I kind of want to focus on Haley a little bit on this next question. So in our society, there's a stereotypical image of what a woman should be or be portrayed sort of thing. And Haley, like, you are the strong, powerful young woman and you own your own business and you do all this cool shit. Talk to me about that transformation from, you know, being a swimmer, I guess, and just being, and the two being an athlete to, and seeing that body changing, not only your body, but your like mental health as well.
Yeah. So my body change is like so significant. It's crazy. When I was a swimmer and doing gymnastics and like just doing bodybuilding, for like strength training for, the paramedic program and stuff, I was like 123 pounds, 125 pounds. I was like your skinny fit is what I like to call it. Like I was like super lean and just like had muscle, but like wasn't big muscle. I started this and I've gained 15 pounds. I'm now 140 pounds, but like I'm the strongest that I've ever been. I can do things that people come in the door and they're like, I want to be like that. Like, and they point at me and it's like such a compliment, but also like kind of a step back. It makes me take like a step back. Cause it's weird that people, kind of look at you like that, if that makes sense. Cause like I see myself every day and this is just like my normal life. Right. So I don't really think much about it, but it's very humbling when people come in and they're like, your goals is what they always say. And I'm being able to do the things that I do or look the way that I look. Mindset wise, it's definitely been a shift because there's definitely a certain stigma around like, I mean, my shoulders are clearly massive. My arms are big. I have huge quads and butt. Like, I would say the more, I don't know what the word is, frustrating side of it is like, clothes that don't fit. Like it's very much like the society is very much geared toward, the type of body that you kind of talked about already, like, you know, thin and whatever. So it's kind of funny, like when we go shopping, like we can't find pants to save our lives because our waists are small and our quads and butt are huge, right? What happening?
I'll plug it in after.
Okay.
I'm just working out in the background. It's crusted. What can we do?
On this point, it's been really interesting from an outsider's perspective over 4 years of competitive training with Haley to kind of see like the social mindset adjust to like accepting that women should be strong and muscular and it hasn't all been positive. Like she mentioned some positive things and like we've had negative
things
said.
And, yeah.
So it's been as like an outsider watching it kind of change the mentality to like, oh, like I don't ever want to look like that. And
people have said that to me too. Like that's what I was gonna get to.
Well, yeah. So like, let me ask you this, then, Chase. Like, as like, her partner, her husband and stuff like that, I mean, when these people like say these things, like whether it be negative or positive, like how do you help her deal with that? Because like that's what you, your partner's not only in business but in life.
Yeah, we have a very strong mindset towards things. Like we have a goal and we want what we want, and usually we tune everyone out, right? And unless it's important or someone we care about. Now that sounds like easy, but so obviously we're human and sometimes it can bug you, right? So I just do whatever I can to support and remind, like, you know, like we have a goal, and in bigger cities and in bigger places where this is more popular, it's very accepted and stuff like
that. He always says to me, if I, because like I said, there have been negative comments. I was going to mention that, but we've had as many people who come in and say, I want to look like that. I've also had people be like, oh, she's gross. Like that, her arms are so big, or this is so big, or I don't ever want to look like that or whatever. And his remark, if I tell him that, is usually like, yeah, well, you can outlift most men. So, and then it's like positive, right? Like, cause yeah, like we never want to be ordinary. We don't want to live an ordinary life. We don't want to be normal.
We don't want to do normal things, or
you guys don't want to work a 9-to-5 and, you know, come home exhausted and having not done or accomplished anything with your day, and just like, what is the workout that's going on in the background right now?
Vertical work.
Okay, so there's jumping, or they're doing a jump rope.
Yeah. You're jumping. Yeah, sorry.
just get them in the background so they can we can. Yeah.
What was I saying before that?
You can lift more than most men. Probably you could probably bench most men.
Yeah, like typically when we'll have like some of my buddies come in or to work out with us that don't always do what we do, and like when we're selecting weights or that sort of thing, I always say like your goal should be to do what Haley's doing, it's not a joke. It's like
it's true.
She and I say this like when people are like, oh, like she's a beast, eh? Like great athlete. I'd say like, yeah, like she's like physically stronger than almost all men I know, except for like the specific guys that we train with. She's stronger than, you know, the majority of people. So
where do you guys think that mentality comes from other people? Cause there's a mentality from people who are not part of the CrossFit community that, you know, look down on CrossFit. I know I've seen it a few times. Yep. Like, why do you think that exists? Cause like in my mind, healthy living is healthy living, and regardless, as long as you're healthy living, like it should be a good thing. I don't know where this mentality comes.
That's a point we both agree with heavily.
That's what we always tell people. I did that Find Your Fit because I'm a gym owner and this is what I love to do, but I support all aspects of fitness, right? If it's not this, then as long as you're moving and staying healthy, then that's amazing, right? But I think that like people see CrossFit, again, it goes back to like what they see on social media. Like they see the Tia Claire Toomeys, the Matt Frazier's, the people who do it full time, and they think like, I can't do that. So most of the time, the mindset of people who can't do something is to turn around and basically put it down, right? If someone isn't good at something, it's not that they aren't good at it, it's because that is dumb, or you know what I mean? Like,
it's a jealousy thing in a sense.
Yeah.
When it comes down to the basic
form
of it. But I think like the stigma around CrossFit too is, the big thing is like we do a little bit different or more dynamic movements than other things.
Yeah.
But
people get worried about form.
There's a study, and I don't know, you can quote me on it. I think it was like the NSA. The CrossFit was like ranked one of the least sports to get injured in. You have like I don't remember what the percentages were, but it was like much lower than tennis, hockey, soccer, basketball. Like it was like at
if
the bottom.
If it's done right, though, is the key point there. Because the thing is like if people So like Chase is a perfect example. He used to go to like, let's say like the YMCA, like a gym like that. Not that there's anything against the YMCA, but so a gym where it's like stationary, there's machines, dumbbells, like whatever. It's not a CrossFit gym, right? And at the end of his like bodybuilding pump sessions, he would incorporate some CrossFit. Like he would do like HIIT training or intervals or stuff like that. Sled pushes,
box jumps.
So the thing is like if someone sees something on TV or social media or Instagram, whatever, and then they're like, hey, let's go, I'm gonna just try this. And they call it CrossFit and they try it and they get injured because they don't know how to do it or it's not done properly. Then they get injured or there's some sort of like mental thing, like I'm not gonna do that again, right? So we always just say, try it, like try it before you make an opinion of it. That's where we kind of go back to the jealousy point is like, if you're not willing to try it and you've never done it, but you have an opinion,
yeah,
then your opinion isn't really valid, right?
It's like, pretty much the same as like when people watch a movie or a TV show and have an opinion on it with them ever having watched it sort of thing. It's like, what are
you exactly.
Yeah.
And then I think the last point on that is like, it comes down to the coaches and the programming as far as like a community based, how the CrossFit is accepted. Like we program so that everyone learns everything first. And then if you're new to the class and it's like more advanced movement, we give you a less advanced version. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, it's very individualized that way because we want people essentially to be training. We train for the sport. We want our community to be training, to be fit and when they're 80, essentially. And you can't do that if you're doing crazy movements like your first time in, right? Like we teach the basic steps and we build strength from there and build technique and then, you know, let the individual decide what they want to do with it.
So where did you guys get this like mentality to want to help people with their fitness? Because I mean, not every gym owner and not every person that is a personal trainer, you know, is as encouraging as you guys. I mean, Chase, you've shared some stories with me. Haley, you've shared some stories. We're like, someone had a goal of just wanting to do one push-up and they got to that goal and then they want to get the next goal. And you're helping them get to these physical goals and you're helping them with not only with their physical health, but with their mental health. So like, where does that mentality come from and how rewarding is it for you guys to be able to, you know, create that positive atmosphere?
It's the most rewarding part of our job. And that's why we do it, right? Yeah. Like we both work full time outside of this place because we have to, but this is where our passion is, right? Like we have this because this is what we want. This is where we want to be. And the mindset for us, like he's way better at it than I am. I'm still working on it, but like he's had this mentality for a long time because of his past and his childhood and stuff like that. Whereas mine's more of like a learned thing later in life. And it just kind of goes back to like, I don't want to be average, right? Like I don't want to get mad in my car when I'm driving 5 minutes down the road because there's a slow driver, right? I don't want to be the one that's screaming and yelling and throwing a temper tantrum and, in the gym, like if it's hard, that's good. People shy away from doing hard things all the time because it's outside of their comfort zone. So we, every single day, try to get outside of our comfort zone. And I don't even know that we teach mentality here. Like we do because little things like we don't allow people to say can't. Like, because eventually they will do it. So they say like, I can't do that yet. They can't just say, I can't do that. We always stop them and they always catch themselves. Like, so we do kind of teach it, but I honestly think it's from like people just listening and seeing how we live, that they kind of pick up and they're like, yeah, like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that person. Right. People just live on, we always call it cruise control or autopilot, right? Like people don't tend to step outside of their comfort zone for fun. And if they do, it's uncomfortable and they don't know what to do with it. Right?
Chasing because like if you're on autopilot and something goes wrong, then you don't have to deal with it. Whereas if you constantly kind of put yourself in a state of chaos and like challenge, that being able to deal with those little hiccups becomes a lot easier.
Exactly.
And I think like on her point, like I've developed this over a long time and I've seen how much it can improve your life. And I've had this kind of drive through experiences to share that with other people, like get people out of their comfort zones. Mm-hmm. People always like want to be healthier, but don't make the step. And I love being that kind of step into being better. Kind of to answer your other question there, why we do it and why we love it.
We always say we're building an army.
Yeah,
we're going to have this
headquarters. We're going to meet at Phoenix.
We do have just a lot of like tough minded individuals that we've helped. I would like to think it's helping, but we've shaped to kind of, you know, want to do hard things, want to be better every day. And that sort of thing is huge for us. And we see, you know, 75 people, 80 people plus, like I'm just talking about our CrossFit classes, get better every week. And it's like, for us, it's literally like a high, essentially, I guess, if you want to say it like that. Like when we see someone do something they've been trying to do for 6 months, and then they like want to cry. It's like, if I had that impact on their life, you know what I mean? And to be able to do that for 80 plus people, it's more like 200 if you count athletes and everything, but specifically the CrossFit is like huge.
And that's got to impact the community as a whole, like in Sarnia where you guys are located. Cause like for every person that's like had that challenge and you've helped, they're telling their friends and they're spreading that good gospel of like, hey, healthy living has helped my life improve. Like you should do that. Whether it's finding CrossFit or karate or pole dance, like it's good to have that message spread throughout that sort of community.
For sure. And that, again, that's another reason why we love it. Like we get that all the time. Like, hey, you helped our friend. They lost 30 pounds and they can now do a strict pull up. Like I want to come kind of figure that out myself. Like we get stuff like that all the time. And it's pretty amazing for us. And not only that, like I wish, like you said, it's like even if they don't come here, like they're going to a gym or, cause like, honestly, the key to everything I think is your own health and fitness. And I know it sounds like very simple, but for the times we just went through, you know, if it was very underrated to focus on your health and fitness when realistically that's, you know, the end all be all of your living is how healthy you are. And obviously if something's coming for you, you can't prevent it. But if you have, we always say like our health is a superpower.
It's a superpower. Yeah.
If we get sick, typically it's less than a day. You know what I mean? And if we ever get sick, if we get hurt.
That's your next merch idea though, is a Phoenix logo in the crest.
Superpower. But the idea is that you get hurt. Well, if you're pretty fit and healthy, it should heal up very quick or quicker. You know what I mean? So.
And I'm hoping people get the idea with what we just went through with the pandemic and COVID, like most people who were healthy, you know, didn't have, you know, adverse reactions to the virus. There was outliers, obviously. There was always going to be outliers, but that was a big thing for me. Like, oh, you know, if you're like seeing all these people who are healthy and like in shape, like, and they're getting this virus that is deadly to people who are not healthy and in shape, it's like some life choices need to be kind of made, sort of thing.
Well, I don't want to, we don't have to quote statistics or anything, but I think it was like 89% of the detrimental cases were someone who was overweight or obese.
Or comorbidity.
Yeah, right? Or something existing.
So let me ask you guys about that then, because like, I mean, like our society has dietarily changed that it's so hard to find and be healthy in terms of eating. How do you guys balance that lifestyle with your busy lifestyles, with the gym, and you're both working full-time jobs and late hours because you're a paramedic or all this crazy stuff? How do you balance it all? How do you find it?
I woke up from nights and came right here to do this. It's simple and it's not simple, but the simple answer is, well, she does the majority of it right now, but I definitely help.
Yes, you help.
But the simple answer is you need to preparation. You need to, and it's like, so it sounds simple, but it is very hard. You need to
it's simple to us because we do it
once or twice a week. You need to set aside an hour or two to prepare food to have at your house or meals in containers.
It goes back to what you're going to make a priority. So it goes back to like, how do people start and how do they, you know, it's about making
routine.
It a routine, making it a priority. Like I know that like the other day I was at the gym, I work nights, got off at 7:30, was at the gym from 10 until 8:30, got home, he was working, and I knew that we had no food prepped. So I pick easy things to do. So we do like, we'll get frozen chicken burgers from like our local butcher. And I fry them up in a pan, do like a bag of frozen vegetables and throw it in the oven. And then we do literally bagged rice, like make it easy. People don't, it's easy to do, but then you toss a couple meals together. It took me like 20 minutes and then we had food for the rest of the week. Right. Like it just, it comes down to prioritizing. I don't want to get stuck, and I'm somebody who gets hungry and also hangry. So like I need to be prepared. But I just think it's about priorities, and people go for what's convenient and easy, right? Like,
and it's very easy to do that. And we could talk forever about this,
literally ever.
But when it comes to marketing and sugar, and it's so easy to go get the thing that tastes so good, and it, you don't have to do anything. And you know what I mean? The society's definitely set up for you not to do what you should do.
So let me guys ask you this then. Cause like, so I just spent the past 3 days staying up to 1 a.m. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I wasn't drinking. I was doing things that I love, things I enjoy, like comedy, wrestling, shooting the in-studio TV show, like stuff that I'm very passionate about. And on Sunday, I'm very tired right now, but I'm not tired, if that makes sense, right? I'm full of life and vigor because I got to do all these amazing things. Is that what you guys kind of feel like most of the time?
I think that's what keeps us going for sure. Like, because you know, we spend a lot of weeks sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night, essentially most of the time. And seeing the little victories in class from members, or seeing someone do their nutrition goals for 2 weeks, like those things definitely keep us going. And we like to enjoy ourselves. Like if you think it's enjoying yourself, we do our own workouts for about 3 hours every afternoon. And like, that's like,
our time.
That's like the only time we book for ourselves, essentially.
And you're spending time together while you're doing that too, talking about the day and everything. Yeah. So like, it's not like a strict, like, it's like very casual, laid back, fun sort of workout, right?
Yeah. Some of it is. Yeah. Sometimes it's a little more serious, but yeah.
Sometimes totally you compete against each other and you're like, son of a bitch.
Or like right now we're doing the worldwide CrossFit Open. So that's like a 3-week online competition. It's the biggest competition in the world for anything. It's like 450,000 people do it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So we're doing that right now. It's a little more serious in the afternoons, but still fun and still get, like you said, it still keeps us going, like to train ourselves and feel that and get rewarded. I'm going to put this in.
Okay.
Now, Haley, let me ask you this, as Chase plugs in the computer so it doesn't die on us during mid-interview.
Yep.
And Chase can hear me, obviously. You guys, you just mentioned the competition.
Yeah.
And you guys were athletes. You competed primarily in individual athletics, and Chase was more sports athletics.
More team, yeah.
Like, how much did you realize that you missed competition until you started these competitions? Because I remember like you posted like the first competition you did, you almost backed out. You almost kind of didn't want to do it sort of thing, but then you did it and you felt on top of the world. How much of that competition lifestyle with CrossFit has helped you in your personal life?
A lot. I secretly was the most competitive person that I didn't know that I was as competitive as I am. And then this very quickly brought out how bad it is. And I say bad because sometimes it is bad. Not everything needs to be a competition, but I definitely make it a competition. Whatever Chase is doing, I always have to do like equal or more. Like, I feel like it's a good and a bad thing because I'm always chasing him. So, the way that like CrossFit breaks stuff down is the male weights are always like heavier, and then like the female weights is like a percentage of the male weight. So like, for example, a very standard breakdown is 225 for him, 155 for me. So like, I always am, if he's hitting something and it's like he's hitting like, let's say 315, I'm like, hey, I have to be hitting 215. Like, I always want to be hitting the same like 70% of whatever he's doing. And then it's the same for like rowing or distance work, right? Because men can physically obviously go further, faster. They're built taller, bigger, whatever, right? So I'm always like chasing him. So it's good and it's bad. He gets a little annoyed at it sometimes.
Sometimes it's constant competition.
I started playing ball hockey last summer and I didn't think it was going to be as competitive as it was, but it was super competitive. And I didn't realize how much I missed having that competition in my lifestyle, because I hadn't been competitive at anything for, God, probably 12, 15 years. And with CrossFit, you guys get to be physically fit. You get to encourage yourselves to be in a positive community, and you get to compete as well. Like, you get to all have all these positive benefits for like your body and your mental health. So like, how, take me through the competition and everything, how enjoyable that is, or maybe it's not enjoyable all the time.
I think like what you said, like applying it to like everyday life, like learning from competition and what we do is like, anything that happens in regular life isn't as hard or as bad as it seems. Like when we're doing a competition workout and you feel like you're on the brink of death sometimes, like it's pretty bad, but like taking that mentality over to it, it's like, so when something happens in real life, it's like, it's not that bad. Like we experience much worse things, like physically and mentally.
The competition part of it's awesome because it's not even for like the actual, present part of the competition, it's for the after. So what I always do, like this 3 week long competition that we've been doing, if they release one workout each week, so you have from Thursday until Monday to submit your score, do the workout. So basically we'll do the workout and then we'll talk about everything that we could have done better. So for me, the competition is awesome because it highlights areas that I need to improve, which is realistically what we try to do every day. But when you're in competition, it's so much, the push is different, the drive is different. The competition's even different. Like me and him can go back and forth all day long, but I know what he's good at, he knows what I'm good at. So it's harder, but when this competition's awesome because we get to see how we stack up against.
We're comparing right now to everyone in Canada is typically what we look at, like men and women in Canada.
Yeah.
But then you can look at like our region, which is North America, and then you can look worldwide as well.
So it's really neat just to kind of see like, you know, where you stack up and how much work you've actually put in and where you can make improvements and stuff like that. Like, I didn't really know because I've only ever done individual sports, which I almost think is like more competitive because team sports seem, I mean, I know they're competitive, but you're there for fun also, like you're with friends and it's fun, but I feel like individual, there's more pressure. It's all on you, right? So I kind of think I was maybe well prepared for competing, but then also like didn't realize how competitive I actually was. So sometimes it bites me in the butt, but that's okay.
And like, do those, like when you're competing and like, you're not always reaching your goal, does that failure help you become better teachers in the gym?
Yeah, 100%. I don't even think you can be a good teacher if you haven't failed.
I think failure in general is needed to succeed at anything. But yeah, definitely as a coach.
We started in the same boat as what you would start in, right? Like I came into CrossFit and I couldn't do a muscle up. I couldn't do a lift. I couldn't do half of the stuff that I can do now. So it's a neat quality, I think, for us to be able to be like, we've been there, guys. Like, these are the drills we did. This is, we've gone through this. We've worked at this. This is what will work. This is what will get it to you. So it's neat for us to like almost pass down, like they don't have to go through the same failures that we did because we've been there, right?
And kind of to put your point, both your points together, like we can, like last year we did this competition. We found what we weren't good at and kind of failed in a sense. And then we had all year to kind of work on that too. So this year, like we're both kind of succeeding more than we ever probably have. Like I think she's sitting around top 100 in Canada after two workouts and I'm like 160th or something in Canada. There's more men, just saying, but that's
there's okay. There's more women.
There's more women. Typically it's more men.
Yeah. 400 more women.
So I think we feel like, you know, failing last year at some things allowed us to improve all year to now do this competition again. And we feel like we're succeeding more, like maybe not to the standards we want, but like a realistic standard.
Now, I've seen the competitions on Netflix, and they're all very individualized. Are there group competitions? Like, could Phoenix enter a competition against so-and-so gym or something, or?
Yeah, we've done team competitions together.
Yeah, we've done multiple teams of six. We've done teams of three. Teams of four was the biggest one. We actually won one of the, I think it's the biggest competition in Canada.
Ontario.
I think it's Canada. It was like 94 teams. It's in Collingwood every year. But it was a blast. But that was like 2-3 years ago. We won that as a team of four. So similar to what we do, but yeah, you kind of share the work or you're doing different things at different times and have to change, like switch.
We've done a couple in-house competitions at Phoenix where we've had teams come in and it's more partner. Teams are a little harder to do in like our space, but we've had like partner competitions and stuff. It sort of like makes it more community friendly, right? Like individual stuff is so, you stress out about it more. There's more pressure on it, right? If you go in with someone like a friend from class and you know you're doing three workouts and it's for fun, it's our community seems to really like it. But yeah, you can do individual, partner, team, so which is nice.
The documentaries you've seen at that same competition, there's teams of four competition as well.
Oh, I want to see it's that just part of the documentary. These bastards are hiding content from me. How dare they?
It's shown a little less, but it's actually like awesome. It's really cool. So yeah, there's teams of four. So like Haley and I could join up with another male, female, and try to make a team. And we would go through the same process we're going through right now. We would still do this CrossFit Open. And then we'd have like a combined team score. And if it was good enough, we'd go on to the next step.
Because like, I imagine that's got to change up the way you're training and the way you compete. Because then you got to pick out, all right, who's good at this? And who's good? And like, there's a lot more strategy around that sort of thing. A lot more fun competition, like chess, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And so that plus you got a lot of things you have to do together.
Like, yeah, synchro.
We've done a lot of team competitions where we have to do like synchronized pull-ups and synchronized burpees and synchronized box jumps, deadlifts. So like doing that is like a whole other thing. Like you can do it yourself, but when you like, we did a competition where it was synchronized deadlifts and pull-ups, and she's short and I'm tall comparably to her, and my levers are different, so I can deadlift a little differently than her. So I have to, we had to figure out that I had to slow down so she could, you know, synchronize with me. Yeah. And then it was the opposite on the pull-ups. You know, I would have to speed up to catch up to her quick pull-up. So that would be a huge aspect in a team of four, because you're working not only just with one other athlete, but two. So.
And like when you're teaming up with people and like you're mixing, I don't know if mixing, but like you're meeting people at other gyms, like do you guys talk about different gym mentalities and like how, like, do you learn from anything from them, or are you teaching anyone else like how to run a gym sort of thing?
I think you always have to be learning.
Yeah. We don't know
everything. And that goes for everyone in any sector of anything. If you're not always learning, you're missing out.
We like to pass on knowledge, but like we're sponges. Like we love learning new things and we love hearing other opinions, even if they're not right.
We're always trying to take little tidbits from other coaches and gyms. That's one of the best pieces of advice I ever got as a coach, is steal from other coaches.
Yeah.
Because if someone's been doing it for longer than me and they have little cues or sayings or ways to do things, like they've already done it and tried it, so I can take it and try it myself and steal from them, you know what I mean, and learn. But we've been to a lot of gyms and we see how they're run and see if there's ways we can improve with how they're run and that sort of thing.
Now let me ask you this, so like you guys do travel sometimes, have you ever had an instance where like you've walked into a gym and like seen the scope and just like walk right the back out of the door? Like, I know we're not doing this. Have you guys walked into a gym like while you're traveling on vacation? Just like, nope, not today.
We probably should have. We went to one gym in Mexico when we were there. And
it was a real like a CrossFit affiliate gym.
But it was like very dirty. and just very not what we were used
to. It was awesome, but it was like very
a little questionable.
Yeah, very questionable. Great people, and like it was mostly outdoors, so that was kind of why, right? Like
the chalk was mixed with some cocaine. It was like, oh man, I feel really energized during this workout. What's going on?
Well, I mean, there was like, you know, stray dogs that lived around and stuff like that. So it's like, plus the cocaine.
I don't think we've ever walked into like a gym though and like been like, oh, the thing is we don't typically like go there to work out. Like we have a couple of friends who own gyms in the Toronto Hamilton area. So like we've gone there, we've seen their space, kind of get ideas for like how they set up stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think we ever like, cause everybody has their own ideas, right? So if their setup's different than ours, it doesn't.
We definitely have a few friends we bounce ideas off at or other gym owners and conversations like that.
If I walked into like a Good Life right now though, I'd probably have that feeling. I would have no idea where to start, like to be honest.
So sometimes we do like arm day, like sometimes, like maybe once a month, and she'll be curling and I'm like waiting and I'm like,
What do I do
right now? Like, should I be doing burpees? Like, should I be running? Like,
it's just weird to think about like using a machine. Like, I think of like when I did do like bodybuilding for when I was in school, and I was using like what is that machine called, the Smith machine or whatever, with like that bar that's on the rack and goes up and down. And I think of like how I was squatting, and I was like, that was so bad, and like. I don't know. Anyways, again, nothing against it, but yeah, like, now that I have the mechanics I have, like it would just be total, like.
Well, we just trained for me,
who like I'm trying to go to the gym, and like every time I go there, I'm always trying to do like the scheduling. Like, I'll go after work. If I can get to the gym, it's packed, and I'm like, people are just standing around on their phones, taking up machine, or like they're rotating between four different people, and I'm like. The fuck is going on here right now? And like it's gotten to the point where like I go in there and I don't know what to do because everything's booked up, and then I'm like, oh man, everyone's just way too sexy in this. Like when it's a public gym, you see some of the outfits that people are wearing now, and I'm just like, what is happening right now? When did I miss this trend?
Do you want to know my suggestion?
Yeah, start CrossFit.
Go to a CrossFit gym.
Yeah. I figured that would be your answer.
1 hour out of your day, it's usually.
You don't have to know what to do.
I can't speak for every gym, but you don't have to know what to do. It's programmed for you. It's typically something you don't want to do, which is going to make you better. Actually see progress. Like if you want to do arms and you go in the gym and do arms, like the amount of progress you're making is like very minimal. But if you go to a CrossFit gym and you got a mixture of like, lifting, cardio, and body weight, like you're gonna move that needle like a lot more than, you know what I mean, something you want to do. Not only that, but like the community feels way different. There's no phones, people aren't in the way.
Yeah, we don't let phones come out.
You're part of a team. You essentially, once you get in there and get to know a couple people, like you become part of like this team. Like we talked about earlier, you're all there for the same goal. You're all there to kind of help each other, even though there's that friendly competition.
And like, speaking of goals for you guys, and I will try it. Fuck off. I that was actually my favorite part, I think, for me personally, when we worked on the TV show, Haley, is like doing the CrossFit with you guys. That was actually, I didn't realize I had that sort of explosivity left in my body. I thought it all gone away, sort of thing. With your goals of the gym and goals personally, like what is the goal with the gym? Because we're just getting out of the pandemic now. The businesses was booming, then had stopped, and then it's booming, then had stopped. Get back and forth. Like, is the goal for you guys to compete on a higher level to get to that Netflix series level, or are you just kind of trying to build the brand of Phoenix right now?
I think we're just gonna build a brand right now. Like our we're kind of like, we keep saying like we're exploding like in here, like by the seams, like we're having a ton of interest. We're getting tons of new people in. It's been really, really awesome. And I think like short-term goals slash like long-term goals would be like both of us coming here full-time eventually. And then as for like competitive wise, I think we're pretty realistic in the sense that like we're not gonna ever be a games athlete. So like those Netflix documentary series or whatever, like
unless we don't switch to team.
We don't compete, like we don't train. Those people put so many, like
they put an 8-hour a day in
to do training. Could
you not get to that level if the gym becomes full time and you're not having to do the paramedic?
No. Well, because we'll be coaching all day to kind of offset.
I think the most we'll ever have to train is like the 3 hours.
Yeah, we usually do about 3 hours a day.
Which is, you can get a lot done in 3 hours, but like.
You usually miss something. So we're usually missing like our long distance cardio, our mobility, like things that these other athletes are able to constantly do. Not that I don't want to give an excuse, but that's definitely.
It's just realistic.
That's definitely one of them, like realistic. And not only that, like I'm 31, I think you peak at 26
we always joke and say we're training. So in CrossFit they have age division, so the age group that we're in right now is 18 to 34, so we always joke that we're training for the 35 to 39 category, so
which is very, very admirable. There's a lot of athletes that we follow and respect that are like world-class athletes that are now in that age group and that are they're trying to do the same thing. So the awesome thing about age, like I'm maybe a little too old to peak for the under 35s, but I feel fitter and healthier every single year. Like I'm way fitter. I'm 10 times fitter. I'll say that than I was when I was 27. Stronger, quicker, more endurance. So it's like,
ladies and gentlemen, he's I'm a big dog man.
The other thing is like, we want to start a family soon. So I think that we need to be realistic in the sense that like, our priorities are going to shift sort of from, we're always going to prioritize this. Like I'll be the person who's like probably having their water break doing a deadlift, it's going to be true. But that being said, like we just need to be realistic in the sense that like, if we set goals that are too high, then it becomes a bit toxic, you know what I mean? It's unrealistic, it's not obtainable. So we always like to set short goals like this. Open, our goal was to get to quarterfinals, which is to be top 10,000 in North America. Like I think I was sitting at like 700th and Chase was like 1,000 maybe. So like we know for sure we're gonna get onto that next phase, but then they take the top 100 out of that 10,000. So like to be in that group of people, it's not gonna happen, which is
our goal is always to be better than we were last year. And I think we're with what we've been able to do this year for ourselves and our own training, where we are is like to be expected and acceptable. Like our goal is to be top 100 in Canada, then we know like we belong, and then the quarterfinals is a whole different story. Like we would love to be, you know, top 500 in North America. She was close last year. I was a little further off, but there was way more men, but that's the goal, right? So like to be top 100 in North America or 150 or whatever it is, like that takes a lot more than what we're putting in now. So
we just keep it small obtainable goals, and then it's just always
the goal always be no matter what, for us to be better than we were. Regardless of if we're competing in CrossFit, we're probably still going to train the same way, train to be better, train to be stronger. Even when kids come along, it'll be the same.
I'm already picturing it now. It's like you guys are going to have kids, then the people you train with are going to have kids. So it's like going to be like daycare, CrossFit. Like the kids will be off like doing like little rows, and you guys will be off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of owning.
That might be the cutest thing that ever someone could ever see.
I'll make sure to post it when that happens.
if our toddler's interested in deadlifting, we're gonna teach her slash him how to deadlift. So
I don't know who it is, but I've seen someone has already got their kid like just getting grip strength by just hanging on the bar and like.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like it's very. It's like that's good. It's like teach them at a young age. Build that confidence.
Yeah, I mean, you could be doing a lot, you know, worse things. Like, I feel like fitness is the basis of everything, like we relating back to what we talked about before. So if you get a love for that at an early age, I mean.
And the thing is like, people are going to guarantee it because that will be what we do, right? Like our kid is going to grow up, or kids are going to grow up in this gym, right? Seeing what
build
do.
That army.
Right? Exactly. But I don't think there's any difference in, like, people put their kids in swimming lessons when they're like, what, 8 months to a year old? Like, it's like, whatever. So it's the same thing, right? Like, it's not because we're teaching someone, a baby, how to squat, not with weight or a barbell, but just like fundamentals of foundational movement. There's no difference. So I guarantee we'll get some backlash on that, but it's no different. That's a thing. It's a stigma around it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been proven there's no studies that show that weightlifting or physical fitness is detrimental to kids.
Or like, what's that thing
called? Well, I mean, honestly, you're also not going to give a kid that weighs 140 pounds.
Exactly. That's the thing. You have to do it smart.
Luckily, we have a coaching background and yeah. We understand what's reasonable per individual.
We'll do another podcast in like a year or two or whatever. We have kids and we'll show you how we're doing it.
Perfect. I can't wait. Thank you guys so much for being on the podcast. Where can people, I mean, you guys are located in Sarnia, but we want to reach a global audience if possible, but where can people get the best information if they want to, like, kind of look at CrossFit as an option for working out?
The website, crossfit.com. They have all the affiliates. We're not an affiliate, but they have all the affiliates if they are looking for an affiliate to go to in their area.
You can type in listed. The city. Yeah,
they have them all listed there. And then other like small kind of functional fitness boxes like us, they can just, like, I would honestly use social media, Google, like. Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people find us by searching CrossFit, and even though we're not, it comes up. So
yeah.
That's always an option. Like, we are, but we don't pay to be affiliated.
Is that you're not going to get in trouble for saying that?
No. Like, I mean, we've had meetings with them and stuff to determine if it was feasible. And okay. I think eventually it will be.
We don't do CrossFit here, but we train CrossFit.
Okay. I get it.
So no, we're not. But
yeah, no, it's better that you actually had talked with them as opposed to like just putting CrossFit and like not doing CrossFit at all sort of thing.
We're not allowed to use the word CrossFit at all. So we're Phoenix Fitness and we do functional fitness. That's what we do.
Perfect.
But it's CrossFit.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, guys. Chase Ainsworth, Haley Ainsworth, thanks so much. Cheers.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Chase and Haley of Phoenix Fitness in Sarnia, Ontario. I thought it was really cool to get their get them on the show because they just ooze positivity, and I like how they spread the message of healthy living and, you know, positivity. Very important for these trying times that we're in right now. I'm slowly realizing I should probably record these intros after I record the episode instead of the morning of the day of, so that's not me. the last 4 days of my life have been pretty crazy. Comedy, wrestling, work in studio, music show studio stuff. It's been crazy, but it's been so rewarding, and I may be very, very exhausted, very, very tired, but I feel alive, I feel fresh-ish. I've come to the realization that the more you do stuff that you love, you're going to be tired, but it's going to be a good kind of tired. So I hope you guys can take that away from this episode. That's it for me. I hope you guys have a great rest of the week. And we'll see you then, and we will see you down the line. Cheers.